It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Lead pipes were banned decades ago, but as the people in Flint, Michigan know, not all of those lead pipes have been removed from our plumbing. A new investigation of Georgia's water systems shows some of the water in Georgia may be contaminated. Reporters Andy Miller of Georgia Health News and Brenda Goodman of WebMD reviewed lead testing records for water systems serving thousands of people. I spoke with both of them about the story. How do I know, Brenda, if my home I just bought in 2017 has lead anywhere in the connection between the water system and me?
You wouldn't necessarily. There are no laws in Georgia that require anyone to disclose to you if there's lead in the pipe that comes from the service main at the street to your house. So you wouldn't necessarily know if there's lead in that plumbing. And then you would probably need to get a plumber in to look at your interior pipes to find out if you have the kind of pipes that might have some lead or lead components in them.
So the reason I'm focusing so much on testing is because what you guys discovered when it comes to how our water is tested and how thorough that is shook me a little. I was very surprised at some of the things that you uncovered. So let's dig into what you found out. Are there blanket regulations for how often a water system has to test and what facilities? Do they need to do a certain number of homes versus businesses?
The lead and copper rule basically outlines what has to happen. And basically, water systems, public water systems, have to test somewhere between 30 and 50 of their customers' homes to find out whether there's high lead levels.
Why homes instead of businesses?
Well, that's the way the rule and the law is focused on what the consumer is consuming. It's not really, it doesn't really have anything to do with what's happening at a gas station or a convenience store or something like that. And so what we found, surprisingly, is that a lot of water systems are testing homes that are not at high risk for lead poisoning. And that's what the EPA rule and the EPA wants. They want water systems to test the highest risk homes for lead contamination.
What makes a home high risk?
So there are three conditions that make a home high risk for lead. Under the EPA's lead and copper rule, make them it's called a tier one house. There are different tiers of risk, and there are three different conditions. One is if you have a lead service line, and that's what the EPA is most interested in. They want water systems to test their lead service lines before they test anything else. If a water system knows they have lead service lines, at least half the homes they test have to have lead service lines. The second condition is if a home is built in the 80s, between 82 and 88, and has copper pipes with melted lead joining those pipes, so it's lead solder. And the reason why those years are important is because the newer lead is, the more quickly it releases to water. And those were the last years when high amounts of lead were allowed in plumbing under the law. And the third condition is if you have lead pipes in your house. And I never ran across a case where that was true, but they have it written into the law. If you have actual lead pipes in your house.
Here's one wrinkle in what you found, which is that a lot of the places, as you say, that they were testing were not high risk. In fact, a number of municipalities or water systems were testing government employees' homes.
Right. And basically, that's just not what the law is all about. The law wants municipalities to test homes, single-family homes. And so those systems that did gas stations, city officials' homes, you know, we can't tell what the intent was of these water systems, but clearly that's kind of like violates the spirit of the law, if not the law itself.
I was just going to say, there's no prohibition in the law against testing city employees' homes or water system employees' homes. There's nothing in the law that would prohibit that, but their homes are supposed to fall into one of those risk categories, and we found that often they don't.
They're not at high risk for
right.
lead.
There's really no reason other than convenience why those homes should have been tested.
And one of the reasons this is so bad is because I may live in a place where they say we have no lead in our water, or it's below the parts per billion, which would be considered dangerous, and that may not be true because they're not testing high-risk homes. Is that accurate?
Right. They, you know, as Brenda says, the high-risk homes should be targeted across the board. And sometimes water systems can kind of get a dispensation to do other area, other homes, but they have to exhaust the whole supply or of these high-risk homes. In other words, almost all of these municipalities have plenty of high-risk homes that they can go after.
One of the difficult things that makes that difficult, though, is getting people to agree to do the test. Mm-hmm. Why is it so hard to get homeowners to participate?
You know, that's a mystery because I have a 2-year-old daughter. And so if somebody said, hey, we want to test your house for lead, and I live in an old house, I would say, please bring me the bottles. Right. Let me do it. So I was a little bit taken aback, honestly, when water operators told us that they were having trouble recruiting volunteers. But we hear that again and again, not just in Georgia, but in other cities as well. We know that's been a big problem in Philadelphia. They've been trying to recruit people to test homes. They have lots of lead service lines there. They know it. They've been trying to recruit people to test homes, and they feel like can't get enough people to sign up for the testing.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with reporters Brenda Goodman of WebMD and Andy Miller of Georgia Health News. They've collaborated on this investigation into lead contamination in Georgia's water systems. Andy, from what your reporting describes, it doesn't seem like it's all that difficult to participate in testings, right? You don't use the water for 6 hours while you sleep. And then when you first get up in the morning, you get a sample and you leave it outside.
That's right. But there's this reluctance, as Brenda said, by many people. But I would think that you could find, you know, if a water system is diligent about this, and there are some that are, that they eventually find the people that will do this.
Let's talk about specific water systems then. Tell me a story about something that maybe surprised you. There were things that surprised me, but what surprised you in your reporting in terms of A, how flawed the tests may have been, or the response of officials when you confronted or asked questions?
One thing that surprised us when we went to the town of Demarest in North Georgia, and we found that the addresses were commercial buildings. In fact, we found a couple empty lots that were addresses that they said they tested. So we found that there was,
empty lots with no plumbing that they couldn't have.
Exactly. They were just sitting there. And that's not the intent of the law, certainly. And we found a lot of that. We found that not just in Demarest, but in other places. One thing also that surprised us is there was kind of a lack of knowledge about this important thing of lead service lines. I mean, a lot of these water systems will say, oh, we don't have them, but it turns out that they may have them, but they just aren't looking for them. And these are the most dangerous situations for potential lead contamination.
That comes up in Atlanta, Brenda, because as I understand it, when you guys approached Atlanta city officials, they said there was zero lead anywhere in the water system. Is that correct?
Not exactly. In the days when they were installing the main pipes of the water system, those were made out of cast iron, and one end would be in a bell shape and the other end would be straight. So what they would do is they would take those two ends and fit them together and then pour molten lead around the gap to seal those pipes together. And we're by far not the only water system that has that configuration, but we still do have some of those lead joints in our water system. But they said, you know, unequivocally that we didn't have any lead service lines. And so we wanted to know more about that. We said, how can you say that? Because we know from historical records that at one time, Atlanta was one of the 50 largest cities in the country that had lead service lines. And so we started digging some more. We said, well, that was a long time ago. Are those pipes still in the ground? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
So we asked the Atlanta Water Department if they had any records called tap cards. Other cities have been looking for these tap cards. These are old records. They are index cards sometimes.
Yeah, they're pre-computer. They kept everything by hand. They were like the card catalog at the library.
Right. They're handwritten in pencil, beautiful cursive script. And so we asked them to look for them. They said, no, we don't have anything like that. But I had talked to some people in water in Georgia who knew that Atlanta still had some tap cards. So we went back to them again and said, hey, could you take a second look for us? Because we're pretty sure you've got them somewhere, but probably not very many people know where they are anymore in your water department. And so sure enough, on the second look, somebody came back to me and said, hey, we found them. They're in an old walk-in safe in the Atlanta Water Department, and you can come down and look at them if you want. So that was astonishing to us.
What did you find on the tap cards?
Well, we found the records that they did have lead connections and lead plumbing going into these homes all over in all these neighborhoods of Atlanta. And so the city finally came back to us and said, okay, we do have some lead service lines.
We may have some.
We may have some.
Right.
It may be like, what,
1%? 1% of all the pipes, yeah.
But there's a lot of pipes.
There's a lot of pipes.
There's
exactly.
Exactly. So
so they went from saying, we definitely don't have any, to, well, we may have some.
Why is it so difficult to know where the lead is? Why is it so difficult to replace it?
Well, it's expensive to replace the pipes. I mean, even for a homeowner, it could be from your water meter into the house. If you have a lead service line from there to there, it could cost thousands of dollars to dig up your yard and to replace them. And cities, cities have, you know, it's expensive to get rid of these things. Why we don't know where they are is a good question, is what cities are going after. Some cities like Boston and Washington, D.C. have tracked where these lead pipes are so that homeowners can know if they have them in their neighborhood.
And in many cases, these pipes were put in before we thought that lead was dangerous. Do we have a final answer on how much lead you can have in water before it becomes dangerous?
No, the EPA, in fact, this is incredible, isn't it? They're still working on trying to find out what that level is. So the EPA has an action limit. It's called a 15 parts per billion, and it's called an action limit because if a water system exceeds that for more than 10% of its homes, they have to take action. They have to notify all the customers in the system that there's a lead problem. They have to educate the public, and they have to change the water treatment so that it reduces the risk.
And right, and remember that the CDC says basically there's no safe level of lead for a child. They're just, you know, zero.
Right.
Which leads us to some of the people that you spoke to in your reporting who found out. In fact, there was one woman who got notice. She participated in the testing. She got notice that the lead in her water was above even the EPA limit, and there was no instruction for her on then what she should do next. Why not?
Well, that's a question for the water utilities. I mean, they absolutely should follow up. I mean, they're supposed to tell people who test high for lead within 30 days after they get the results. And we found another woman who basically didn't know until we called her like 2 years after she had the high lead level test. And she was wondering, and she didn't know why. I mean, she was never informed by her water system, even though 2 years earlier she tested at a, you know, 17
so
parts per billion.
So she'd been drinking lead
yep.
for
dangerous
2 years levels of
without,
lead for
without
at least
knowing
2 years.
Without knowing about it.
But in this particular case, and people will need to go back to your reporting to really get all of these details, but you're talking about water systems in which there's maybe lazy record keeping. There are tests that are very, very flawed. And there's even one official that at one point says, well, I don't rely on the information that you've brought up because I think that it's wrong. But there aren't a whole lot of either penalties. There aren't a lot of them. They're not often enforced in Georgia, from what I understand. And the bar for someone to be charged in this case is purposefully and willfully falsified documentation, which has never been met yet in our state?
The absence of that is troubling versus like a state like Ohio, which did charge some people.
And as did Michigan over Flint.
Yeah, yeah. So we found that there was, I don't want to say it was lax supervision, but it was certainly soft in terms of what would happen if a water operator did a violation of the rules. And I don't know if that's the case everywhere, but it's certainly the case in Georgia that that violations tended not to get harsh punishment. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the Georgia Environmental Protection Division only has two employees to oversee more than almost 2,000 water systems in the state. to enforce the tenets of the lead and copper rule, I should say. So they're already stretched. And it's been based on our review of emails and on the testing records, you know, they have adopted a kind of help them out policy when it comes to water systems. You know, if they find someone that's not doing it quite right, they tend to work with them, and they're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
To try to correct the problem. But definitely we didn't see, I mean, one thing we didn't see for sure that was pretty troubling is that no one routinely checks these test sites to see if water systems are complying with the law.
So your reporting is upsetting and makes me afraid. And I wonder how you feel now about the water that you're drinking. Are you filtering your water now?
Yeah. I mean, I was filtering as soon as I heard about Flint. But definitely, I'm going to continue to filter. I don't feel any safer, definitely, after this reporting. And yeah, it has given us pause.
We filter, too. But I think Flint was a thunderbolt across public health and children's health. And I think the EPA has indicated, has told state agencies like EPD that, look, start testing high-risk homes. Make sure you're testing high-risk homes. So the EPA is more involved since the Flint disaster, certainly.
That was Andy Miller of Georgia Health News and Brenda Goodman of WebMD. Their investigation of lead contamination in Georgia's water systems was released today. You can read it at gpbnews.org. Just ahead, an Atlanta lawyer might be the next director of the FBI. This is On Second Thought.